2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. I say welcome back because we're here every night, 7 to 9 p.m., right here on KSL News Radio. Alex Keery, former NFL quarterback, Scott Mitchell, of course, always here with me. Scott, on a scale of 1 to I'm not paying attention right now, how much are you going to be paying attention during this segment as the Jazz are in the fourth quarter, in the last 7 minutes of this game against Philadelphia, and now it's gotten to the point where it's back and forth. We got a lot to talk about, and I just want you to stay focused. And I want you to understand
listen,
when I'm not focused.
I'm 10, right? So yes. I'm a highly trained professional.
Oh,
Alex.
Good. That's good.
And I value my job, and I will stay focused, and I'll take care of business.
Well, then let's start right there. The Jazz going into the All-Star break tonight. In the next 7.5 minutes, in fact, they will be finishing off their first half of the season. And we've got a lot to say about this Jazz team and what they've done over the first part of the season this year. And it's our 705 Cut. Let's just jump in.
The Cut at 705. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
All right, so first things first here, Scott. From tonight's game, I don't know if I should worry about the outcome of tonight's game that much. Now, if they win, I'm going to say, of course, they're the best team that we've ever seen. If they lose, then they've lost 3 out of the last 4. 4 out of the last 7. And so this is one of those games where I mean, and this is the best team in the East, right? I mean, you look at the 76ers, they have who is now leading the MVP conversation in Joel Embiid, and the Jazz are currently leading 101-99 with 6:30 left in this fourth quarter. And all the stars are in the game now. Everybody's come in. Embiid's back on the floor, Donovan Mitchell's back on the floor, so everybody kind of got their rest, and they're all it's going to be I think a fiery last few minutes here, because the Jazz are going into the All-Star game here. They have a chance they've already done something historic, and that is we haven't seen a Jazz team this good since the Stockton to Malone days, and we've heard that all the first half of this season, right? So I'm wondering, does the outcome of this game first matter to you that much, or is it one of those things where you go, nope, this is still, it's not going to mar that much. It's not going to ruin the fact that the Jazz had one of the most amazing first halves of the season.
If you look at the Jazz and pretty much every single game they've lost this year has been pretty close. They haven't just been blown out of the building. This stretch here that they've had with these 4 last road games, I mean, they've been close games, but they've also had teams that have just played lights out. New Orleans played lights out. Miami played lights out. But it's not. I think winning this last game, going into the All-Star break, is really just a psychological like optic thing. Does it really matter at the end of the day? Probably not. But just from an optic standpoint,
and just from the way the team has got to feel going into the break,
yeah.
Beating this team above everybody else, you know,
right.
Who they've been playing.
Do I care? Of course I care, because you want the team to do well. You want them to end on a positive note. But really what I want to see is I want to see this team really play and close out this season strong. If you watch every NBA game, championship teams learn how to close out games. You know, so here the Jazz. They've got a great opportunity to close out this game in the last 5 minutes against the Philadelphia 76ers. And that's what you want to see going into the second half of the season, are the Jazz finishers, because it really doesn't – the first half of the season means absolutely nothing if the Jazz don't play well and don't close out the season. Now, they're one of the really, really bright spots I do want to bring up with you, Alex,
mm-hmm.
is that the Jazz have a 7-game lead on Portland in the Northwest Division standings, just so you know.
Just to keep the perspective.
Yes.
They are – Northwest Division leaders. I remember the beginning of the
and
year.
They're going to go into the break, Alex.
Yes.
They're going to be the best team in the NBA. They're going to have, you know, no matter what happens, they're going to have a lead. They're going to have, on the West, they've had a great first half. But how well does this team finish is a huge, huge thing for the Jazz.
Donovan is obviously trying to, take over. You know, this game and in the last few minutes here, the Jazz are up 106-104. And I can't help but think of all the, you know, they had a couple of big, long win streaks that really got fans so excited about this team. And it's just been an amazing front half of the season. And yet, the only thing everybody could say is that, of course, the Utah Jazz are probably fake. That this Utah Jazz team, there's no way they're like, you know, they're like everybody else who are these amazing teams like in LA or the Nets because of the superstar thing. At what point do you have to be a NBA champion to be a superstar? The answer is no. You just have to be in a big market. If Donovan Mitchell was in LA, would he already be at superstar status with LeBron? I mean, or if he was in New York, or if he was in even Miami, would we have considered him a superstar already? Is he just a victim of being here in a middle market?
I think his game still has to develop. It still has to he has to do something, you know, and he started to get there when he was at the last year in the bubble. You know, having that series, although it was short, scoring, you know, 50 plus points in multiple games, that was Donovan Mitchell starting to get to that superstar status. And you start seeing, you know, this Jazz team goes on and has the best record in the NBA. They're a number one seed. They go deep into the playoffs. Maybe they go play and win a championship. Of course, he now becomes a superstar. There's no question about it. But his game still has – there's still some seasoning. There's still some development. There's still some stuff that's going to, you know, that the Jazz just they're just going to be required to really be that great player. You look at a lot of players. I mean, you look at Karl Malone. You look at John Stockton. What made them great in their careers was really their longevity. Like you didn't sit here and it took a while for those guys to get any kind of appreciation.
Sure.
And it was that they showed up every single night and you got a great performance out of them every single night and they just got really hard to stop. But it was, you know, does winning a championship require it? No. I mean John Stockton and Karl Malone are legends, not in Utah, in the NBA. All Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
Considered, you know, some of the top 50 players ever in NBA history, and it's because of their longevity, and not just that they played long, but they played at a high level for a long period of time.
You know, you notice that teams get points too. They're like, you remember that Rockets? You remember that Rockets team that won, I think, in '94 and '95, and '95, '96. I think those are the 2 years that Michael Jordan was out of the game, right? Because then it was '96, '97, and '97, '98 that the Jazz went to the finals, and I think people look and they went, well, of course. If the Jazz weren't playing the Bulls, they were by far the best team in the NBA those 2 years. And you know, people kind of give you bonus points. It's like, well, if you played against Michael Jordan in the finals, you're on the hallowed ground there. And I just wonder if Donovan Mitchell, if he doesn't start to get close to winning championships, like if this year, if they go out in that second round, if he starts to look around and go, I gotta go somewhere else. We always wonder about whether or not he'd want to go to a New York because he's from there. He grew up a Knicks fan. But you look at teams like New York, and they can't get anything together. They can never figure it out. The leadership here, the coaching here that they get, I'm convinced that they want to stay here for Dennis Lindsay. They want to stay here for Quinn Snyder.
I wouldn't be surprised. I don't want to jinx this, but I wouldn't be surprised if Jazz go and have a really good season and have another early exit out of the playoffs. And it's that catalyst that kind of propels them.
Oh, 21-22 champions?
in a year to really button it down, because it kind of happened that way with Malone and Stockton. And there was a piece to the puzzle. It was like, right, Hornacek showed up, and the Jazz just, you know, they got some great bench player and some role players, and then they just really learned how to win a championship, or at least get there, because they had some heartbreaking, gut-wrenching losing series.
Bogey with a three. It's 112-109 with 2:45 left in the fourth quarter. We'll be right back. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.